This morning I would like to turn your attention to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'd like to read starting at verse 8. It says, but if we have food and clothing with these, we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. O man of God, O woman of God, O young person of God, O child of God, you belong to God? As for you, he says, I have some thoughts. Are you a Christian here this morning? How is it that we're supposed to live the Christian life? The Apostle Paul, in different places, puts it in different ways. In Ephesians and Colossians, he keeps telling us, put off and put on. Put off the old, put on the new. Put off that sinfulness, repent of it, confess it, turn away from it, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 12, he says, present your body as a living sacrifice and stop being conformed to this world. Instead, be metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. So don't be conformed, but be transformed. In Romans 6, the way that he presents it is, stop presenting the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. And instead, start presenting the members of your body as instruments of righteousness to God. Or as one translation puts it, as weapons of righteousness. The members of your body, your hands, your feet, your mind, your eyes, your thoughts, your whole being. And here in 1 Timothy 6, he says, flee and pursue. Run away from and run towards. Flee, and if you want another F, follow hard after. This is what we're to do. Following this, he's going to say, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life, and so on. But it begins here in verse 6. But as for you, he's been talking about these false teachers, in particular, their desire for riches, but how they were leading others astray earlier in the chapter as well. And he says, flee these things. Run away from them. By the way, flee and pursue are both commands. These are not options. The Ten Commandments are commands, right? These are commands as well. And so when we're told to flee, what should we do? Flee! We should run. This is a present tense imperative, means repeated habitual action continually. You're to be a fugitive from evil. On the run. It's always after you. But you're on the run. You're trying to get away from the evil and pursue at the same time that which is good. When you flee something, you're striving after something else. By the way, you cannot flee without pursuing. Okay? When you put off, you can't just put off, you have to put on something. You can't just not be conformed, you have to be transformed. You have to have both sides of this. This is the two sides of our sanctification, turning away from evil and doing good. To him who would desire life and seek good, what does he do? Turn away from evil and do good. This is the calling on our life. This is our daily experience, or should be. To flee, to run away from evil. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, the apostle says, flee fornication. In 1 Corinthians 10:14, he says, flee idolatry. In 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee youthful lusts, youthful desires. In this context, flee the desire for wealth and flee from the false teachers and what they're trying to get you to follow after. Flee. But instead of being caught up in these things, as we run away from them, we're to follow hard after something else. We're to pursue something. It's interesting. I remember back to first year Greek class. This word pursue is one of the words that we had to learn. Except when we learned it, it always had two definitions. To pursue or to persecute. Interesting. If someone is persecuting you, what are they doing? They're pursuing after you to get you. Okay. Well, you are to be pursuing what is right and going after it as hard as you can. This is an aggressive pursuit. And it's something that you do at the same time that you're fleeing the wrong things. Well, what are we to pursue? It gives us several things here. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. There, you have your list for the year. Okay? Now here's the question. What are these things, and how do I know whether I'm really pursuing them or not? Someone said the six virtues here seem to break up into three pairs. The first two are sort of God-honoring conduct. The second two are essential virtues of the Christian life. And the third pair are the right responses to our opponents. Pursue righteousness. Now, if you were asked to take out a sheet of paper and write down, okay, I'm going to pursue righteousness. How do I see this in my life? What would you write down? What does it mean to pursue righteousness? By the way, what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So pursuing righteousness and seeking righteousness are related to seeking the kingdom of God. Basically, righteousness is doing what is right. Not from your own personal perspective, because we sometimes get it wrong, but from the Word of God. This is our infallible guide to how to live our lives. This is what we are to be pursuing in this righteousness. This is not the imputed righteousness that we are justified. This is the imparted righteousness in which we are sanctified, in which God is changing us to be more like Jesus. And so we are to be pursuing this righteousness. So I was trying to meditate on the thought, what does it mean to pursue righteousness. Turn over to James chapter 1 just for a moment. James chapter 1. In verse 18 of chapter 1, he talks about our new birth. God caused us to be born again. In verse 19, he says, "Know this, my beloved brothers." Oh, here's something to know. "Let every person be quick to hear." Oh, quick to hear. God gave us two ears, quick to hear. "Slow to speak." Oh, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. "And slow to anger." Notice what it says next. "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Wait a minute. I want to pursue righteousness. Right? I mean, that's the goal, right? Pursue righteousness. All right, if I am getting angry, if I'm quick to anger, I am not producing righteousness. All right, therefore, the first thing I got on my checklist here is, okay, no anger. What's the opposite of anger? Practice meekness, gentleness. That's right at the end here. Just whatever happens, like James 1 starts out, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials." We'll be looking at this next Wednesday night, but did you think about this? My translation says, "When you meet various trials." I like the word that another translation says, "You encounter them." And encountering something means you're sort of like taken by surprise. You're meeting someone, you're planning to meet them. But encountering something means you didn't expect it, and all of a sudden there it is, and you have to count it all joy. So this morning I got up, looked at my phone, and it said, "Dad, I've been sick all night. I won't be there to preach this morning." Whoa! What does that mean? That means that I'll be preaching this morning. Okay, Lord, what do you have in mind here? Well, I rejoiced. I counted it all joy because God wanted me to do something special here. So here we are, and this is what you're getting. Lord willing, next week we'll find out the purpose of the church again. But for today, we're learning what we need to flee and what we need to pursue, and we need to pursue righteousness. And by the way, he goes on after that and says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." If you are going to be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you want to be pursuing righteousness, then you cannot just read the word and go away unchanged. What does it say here? "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." If you only listen and you don't do, you're deceiving yourselves. You're deceiving yourselves into thinking, "See, I'm being a Christian. I came to church. I listened. And Monday's no different from last Monday." Wait a minute. It needs to be. Okay, now you got my theme, right, for the year? A new you in 22, right? There you go. This is what we're going to do. We want to be different. We want to be more like Jesus. Did we really grow very much this last year in the Lord? I want to grow more this year in the Lord than ever before. This is, should be the goal, right? It's obedience to the word that develops this righteousness. It's learning to trust God with doing the right things. James 2. In James 3. Oh, James 3 is one of those chapters we'd rather just sort of skip over, right? No one can tame the tongue. Look at James 3:6. This just jumped out at me this week. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of what? Un righteousness. If I'm going to pursue after righteousness, I want to have a righteous life, I've got to make sure that I watch what I say. What does it say? Put a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Put a guard. Put a filter over my mouth to stop things from coming out that shouldn't come out. How often is it that our sinfulness is right there? We said something we shouldn't have said. Oh, this is something that we must confess. Lord, I cannot tame my tongue, but you can. Help me only to speak what you want me to speak and say what you want me to say, and help me to keep my mouth shut. Are you pursuing righteousness? Right living, doing what is right. Studying the Word of God so that you know what is right. And not leaving it there, but putting it into practice. This is just the first of the six things. He goes on to pursue godliness. Paul uses this word 10 times in the prison in the pastoral epistles. He doesn't use the word in any of his other writings. Godliness is the outward evidence of a genuine faith and reverence for God. The false teachers were trying to mimic godliness. You notice what it said earlier here in 1 Timothy 6. Starting in verse 4, these people are puffed up with conceit and they understand nothing. They have an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are deprived in mind and deprived of the truth. Now listen to this. Imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But to them it was all an outward godliness. And inwardly they were filth. Now the apostle says, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. And so we're to learn to practice contentment. But this godliness, this true godliness, godly living, is something we have to strive after, pursue with all of our heart. The next thing is faith. Pursue faith. Or faithfulness. Are we growing in faith? Are we being faithful? By the way, most of this list is repeated in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy 2:22, he's writing to Timothy again and he just says the same thing. He says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. In other words, we need to be motivating and encouraging one another to do these things. We're to be stirring up one another to love and good deeds, Hebrews. And so we need to stir one up to be trusting in the Lord. Do you trust the Lord? That's a daily test in your life. It's a daily test. Am I going to trust the Lord for this situation, for that situation? In helping me to be the person God wants me to be. Faith is believing God no matter what everybody else says. Faith is leaning upon and relying upon the truth of God's word in the light, in the darkness, even as you do in the light. Faith is resting in the fact that God is in control of things and he will direct your paths. Are you pursuing that kind of faithfulness for the Lord? Trusting in Him every day? You see, that's where worry comes in. That's where anxieties come in. This is where fear comes in. Those are just signs that you're not trusting me. Now, it happens to all of us, right? From time to time, it happens to all of us, we have to confess this. But if we're going to pursue this faith and trustfulness, when the anxiety comes, what do? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Or when am I afraid? I will trust in you, O God. I will trust in you. Don't let Satan develop your negatives, right? Fear the Lord and not man. And then it says, pursue love. That's the ultimate, right? Pursue love. Pursue being a loving person. That doesn't mean pursue someone who loves you. That means pursue a spirit of love, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. You learn it from God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:5, that was part of the goal of his teaching, love. This is why we're writing to you, Timothy, love. The goal of our instruction is love. Pursue loving one another. Well, we're getting end of our time here, but the next one is pursue steadfastness. The word means literally to remain under. It speaks of a patient endurance which lasts under difficulty with hope and courage. Paul is an example of that in 2 Timothy 3:10. Titus 2:2, this is something older men should be true of them. But as one writer put it, this does not mean a passive acceptance of the inevitable as much as it's an active, unrelenting endeavor in spite of the difficulty. Overcoming in the name of Jesus. What does it say? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's who we are as Christians. That's an example of our faith. And then pursue gentleness. Pursue gentleness. The word is related to the word for meekness. The concept here is being patient and persevering with always the right attitude. Oh, dear Lord, help us. Oh, how we struggle with that one. Just having a gentle spirit. This is something precious in the sight of the Lord, especially in a wife. The gentle and quiet spirit. Gentleness in the midst of any suffering. This is a meekness of temperament and feelings when you face wrong. It includes the idea of not demanding your own rights. A gentleness of temper. Things to pursue this year. You know, God spoke through Paul to tell us other things to pursue. In Romans 12:13, pursue hospitality. Another one, Romans 14:19, pursue the things that make for peace. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, he said, pursue love. That was again. In Philippians 3:12-14, pursue the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 5:15, pursue the doing of good to one another and everyone. In Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace and holiness. You know, in pursuing the things that make for peace, that means you forgive. And you work on being a peacemaker with others. Pursuing the right things. Flee from the wrong things, pursue the right things. That doesn't mean you can just loaf around whenever you want to. Think about it. I finished my work. I've got some free time here. What shall I do? Just be a little bit lazy here. Wait a minute. Scripture says for Christians, redeem the time. Redeem the time. This is very convicting, you know. We waste a lot of time. And so when you're trying to pursue the things of God, consider this. This is impossible, of course, but with God all things are possible, right? Purposely try each day to accomplish more than is possible for the Lord. Okay? That means you're giving it best all the time. When you get a free moment, you say, what can I be doing for the Lord right now? How can I get to know Him better? How can I encourage somebody else better? What can I do? Well, maybe I should just at least be praying. There's something you could be doing instead of just goofing off. Look, the only good goof off is that stuff you use to get the junk off, right? That's a good goof off. I think that's what it's called. Anyway, how is our diligence for God? What does it say in 2 Peter 1? Applying all diligence. We'll close by looking at that real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1. For this very reason, make every effort. Apply all diligence to supplement, to add to your faith with virtue with knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control steadfastness, steadfastness godliness, godliness brotherly affection with love. These are the things we're supposed to be pursuing, right? He says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So verse 10, therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. This is what we believe you want us to hear this morning. You arranged it special, and we've tried to share it as best we could. Take these simple truths, Lord, and help us in applying these to our lives, that we might truly glorify you more than ever each new day that you give us during this year. And Father, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.